Welcome to Living Water Radio. We've all been asked, how are you doing? And said something like, good, or even great, to say we're fine when we're not fine. It's okay not to be fine. In fact, with God, in some ways, it's better. Today, we're going to find out why. But first, we have an announcement. I'm Pastor David Burkittall, and my wife, Reverend Sally Welch, and I began co-producing these videos, Streams of Living Water, at the beginning of this global pandemic, now becoming an endemic, and as we begin to emerge into the new normal, to share a sense of connection and encouragement and an opportunity to reflect about what it means to be a Christian. Sally and I are retired clergy with over 80 years of ordained ministry between us. Now the isolation we all experienced at the height of the pandemic is loosening up. We are all living under fewer pandemic restrictions, though rising COVID cases in LA County are a concern, and we must be vigilant. Most churches have now gone back to some provisions for physically present worship and Christian community life, along with the necessary restrictions in place for the sake of others. I've been leading worship and preaching at different churches on Sundays. I will be preaching every Sunday at the same church, St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Monterey Park. Plus, I will be working there a few hours every week starting on June 1st. Sally will be taking up a more active schedule as a docent at the Simon Wiesenthal Center's Museum of Tolerance in LA at the same time. Therefore, we will go from two video podcasts and blogs each week to one starting in June. The one video will be moving to Wednesdays, still at the same times, 11:15 a.m. on the Streams of Living Water Facebook page, at 11:30 on the David Burkittall Facebook page, and at 12 noon on our YouTube channel, Streams of Living Water, with the podcast and the blog to follow. We hope that these videos, podcasts, and/or blogs have been helpful to you, and we look forward to continuing our service to you as we move forward into whatever comes. Now, let's get back to how you're doing. How are you doing? We get asked this question, or some variation of it, all the time. My answer is often pretty good for an old man. It's funny, and it lets me answer without answering. Most of us, though, are not completely fine, and some of us are not fine at all. And we may not be fine depending on the day or even the time of day, but most of us will just say, I'm fine. We may not use the words, I'm fine, exactly. It's pretty hard to say them convincingly these days, but we will use words like good, or I'm doing well, thank you, or even blessed. Tone and body language make our words convincing, or not. Inside, we may not be so fine, even when our exterior says, I'm fine. We don't want to be a Debbie Downer. Sorry, Debbie. We don't want to burden people with the things that are weighing us down. We want to focus on what we can do, not on things that we can't do, or are coping, or we want others to think that we're coping, or we don't want to become an object of sympathy, or we want to be seen as caregivers, not as care receivers. And in many areas of life, we've gained things through the pandemic. We've gained new skills and new friends. We've gained new hobbies and developed our old ones. We've rediscovered family and friends through Zoom and other apps. We've gained a new tool to share our faith with digital media, and we've gained new ways to work collaboratively. We've met our neighbors and learned how to live with them. We've grown closer to our families. We've gained insight into ourselves and what we really want to do with our lives. We've gained time and gas money by not commuting. Oh, and some of us have gained some weight. Most of us are doing well in many areas of life, even if we are feeling down. War has not visited our shores. We eat regularly, and we have a place to live. We are a part of a community of support. Things that were considered luxuries by previous generations are now considered necessities. Smart TVs, smartphones, owning a computer and having high-speed internet, dining out or taking home food from restaurants, owning a car, or two, or three. Rappers and rock stars and reality TV stars promote standards of living that are more than aspirational. Yet, if we don't have these things that everybody on TV seems to have, we feel deprived. many people are floundering as we move through this pandemic. I saw a meme the other day that said, "Is it just me, or does it feel like the years 2020, 2021, and 2022 have been written by Stephen King and directed by Quentin Tarantino with a soundtrack by Bjork?" We're living in what some have called the Great Resignation, resulting in labor shortages in every area of life. We are living with crazy high gas prices, with inflation and the threat of recession, with the war in Ukraine threatening to bring on World War III, with the fracturing of our political system threatening the end to our democracy, with crazy high housing prices, the breakdown of all of our institutions, with global warming threatening rising water levels and untamed wildfires. Our identity hasn't been lost. It's been broken into a thousand little pieces. And we're still finding our way through a global coronavirus pandemic and its most recent variants. We've lost friends and family to COVID-19. We've lost time. We've lost education. We've lost work. We've lost experience, healthcare, and we've lost jobs and a sense of material security. We've lost a sense of connection to other people, and sometimes we fear them. We're out of practice in reading body language, interpreting facial expressions without masks, and the many conscious and particularly unconscious signs that tell us how to understand our community, who we can trust, who will be our friends, and where we belong, how to travel, and how to shop. The world seems to have devolved into even smaller tribes than we remember. Groups who shared our values seem to have gotten smaller, and our national dialogue seems to have become even more adversarial. We're not fine. The masks we wear to protect us and others have become like the masks we wear to protect us from revealing to others the reality of our world and our relationship to it in our faces. The Bible tells us that it doesn't have to be this way. Jesus offers an approach to life that seems unattainable because it is so countercultural, and yet it leads to life. It involves a living, transformational relationship with the one true living God, a life of trust in God. He says in Luke chapter 12, beginning at the 27th verse, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep seeking what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that seek all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well." So, when we're not fine, why is that okay? The thing about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' preference for the poor and for sinners and for outcasts is not that they are Jesus' idea of the human ideal, but that those who have little alternative and know they need the Savior are way more inclined to trust in God and to find life in Him. Life that really is life. When we know that we're not fine, that our self is not sufficient, that is when we are near to being saved. Paul, reflecting on his life as a missionary and his prayers for particular relief, says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the 8th verse, "Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong.'" There's no question and little surprise that the church, the body of Christ, is in decline in the United States and in Europe, the most widely affluent places in the history of the world. There is equally no question and little surprise that the church is booming in China, in South America, in sub-Saharan Africa, even in India, places where the church is persecuted and/or its people are poor. Why? Jesus reveals this in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Tax collectors at the time were greedy tools of the occupying Roman Empire. He reminds us that we're not fine, and that before God we do not need to pretend. Our new life starts when we realize that we need a Savior. Jesus illustrates this in Luke chapter 18, beginning at the 9th verse. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. For most people, life is not all good or all bad. We are not always just fine or not fine. There is a mixture. If you fill a glass of water to its midpoint, is the glass half empty or half full? Of course, most of us are going to say half full because the psychology of our culture says that's the way we are supposed to see it, that people who see it as half full are more goal-oriented, optimistic, healthier, positive, and successful than people who see it as half empty. Who wants to be Eeyore? But is there another way that the water in the glass can be described that is not so either or? Yes, I would say that the glass is 100% full. It's half water and half air, but it's 100% full. That's the promise of the gospel. Our lives will not be fine all the time, but God is good all the time. God is present in us and for us. We know the joy of God even when we're sad, because that gift of God can never be taken away from us. We are a new creation in this sinful world because Jesus overcame the world on the cross. We know who we are because we know whose we are. Much of the time in this world, we're not fine. But Jesus has overcome this world, and because he has done so, we're fine. Today, let's remember to pray for all those who have yet to get the vaccines and the booster, because they are most at risk to themselves and to others. And let's remember to pray the Lord's Prayer sometime today, the one that Jesus taught us. If you don't know what that is, contact us at therevsdavidandsally@gmail.com or send us a tweet to @DavidBurkadahl and we'll send it to you. Send your prayer requests to either of the same addresses and we'll include them next time. Send your comments there as well. As always, we encourage you to stay hydrated. Open your heart to receive the living water from the source, God's self, the living presence of the one true living God, the God who gave himself on the cross so that all who believe and are baptized might be restored to the living relationship with God for which we were created. Remember your church. Identify one if you don't already have one. Ask a friend about it or a family member. Google it. Contact the pastor. When you have a church, go to or tune into the worship service they have available. And support your church financially so that it will be fully functioning as we move now out of the variants and back into the new normal. Support your pastor and church leaders. Pray for them and help them in any way that you can. They're trying to find their footing. They're trying to keep everybody happy. You know how impossible that is. Support them. Pray for them. If you or a loved one are having thoughts of suicide or are struggling with mental health issues, call somebody, contact a friend or a relative, Google a local national hotline, talk with a professional, reach out. You are not alone. There are people around you who will walk with you through this dark time and into the light. Wear a mask when you're outside your home. Practice social distancing. Wash or sanitize your hands regularly. Get your vaccine. It's the one thing you can do to keep lowering the curve and to literally save lives. Do it for the sake of others. Avoid crowds if you can, and be outside if you have to be in a crowd. Be kind to everyone you come into contact with, especially those who are sacrificing their security to provide for yours. We all struggle in some way. Be a helper and an encourager. Thank you for listening to Living Water Radio. We are here for Christians and for the people of the Los Angeles metropolitan area who are looking for a sense of Christian community, a source of hope, and a way to thrive together during this global pandemic. We hope you'll tune in next time and invite your friends to do the same. Meanwhile, Sally and I encourage you to open your hearts to receive living water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and stay hydrated.